everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. You know what? It's not just us who are finally back. You're also finally back. Where have you been, audience? You haven't been listening to anything we've been doing because we haven't been doing it. So it takes a village to create this. Us yapping and you listening. So thank you and welcome back to you.
At the end of the last episode, we had a cliffhanger where we needed to hear back from Kim to decide whether or not it was okay to talk about her recurring role on Kung Fu. Now, the weird thing about this is that if she says no, it's not okay, none of this, we will have to redo the end of the last episode and the whole really MO of this episode.
Yeah.
Which is, will Kim say yes? And I feel like we're going to hopefully hear back while we're doing this.
Man, I got BO. Hey, keep talking. I got to get some deodorant.
I'm so glad that you didn't see the video. Maybe we'll post it, but Rich just gave his own underarms a big whiff and determined he did not smell good. And now, even though he seems to be the only one in a cabin made of wood, like a real cabin in the true sense of the word cabin, like the old settlers would have put up, he's going to go find himself some deodorant, which... where he lives, I don't know, like maybe deodorant is just like tree sap or something, because he's really out there in the woods of Oregon. As the camera shakes as he walks, that's how rickety the floor is. While we're waiting to come back, I just wanted to go over what you missed in the last episode. I was sick, now I'm better. Rich traveled, listened to REM, and then we start talking about what he's doing next, which is directing Kung Fu.
Is this better, by the way?
Yeah, much. Thank you. Smells a lot better. And he's going to be directing Kung Fu with Kim Rhodes, who is who may or may not be okay to say that. But I have my money in Vegas. I have my money on her saying yes. Now Rich is cutting an apple with the sticker still on it, which is interesting.
Well, I'm not eating the sticker part.
Okay. You don't wash that stuff? Nah, not in Oregon. You don't wash things in Oregon.
I rinsed it off. All right. It's in the fridge.
With the sticker on it. What do you use for deodorant there in Oregon? Just like tree sap or?
Bear urine.
Okay. Bear urine. So you're directing Kung Fu again. Yep. Now this goes back to the an earlier thing we've talked about, which is every writer on Supernatural is doing so well right now.
Oh yeah,
and
ma'am.
They're doing, and they also are so loyal to the actors from Supernatural and giving them jobs on their new shows. Now this includes Bob Behrens doing Kung Fu, giving jobs to Richard Speight, giving jobs to Kim Rhodes, Brianna Buckmaster, and. Then
Jeremy Carver. Give a job to both Ruth Mark Connell and to Mark Sheppard.
Mark Sheppard, yep.
Eric Kripke. It got Jensen Ackles.
Yes. And
Jim Beaver.
Yes.
Up there.
Yeah.
And got several writers from Supernatural.
Yeah, a lot of the crew and you know, and Phil Segrisha.
Phil Segrisha.
Yeah.
Phil Segrisha.
And then you've got
Oh, you got Jared Padalecki.
Jared Padalecki is putting
Mark Sheppard,
Mark Sheppard in his new show, in his old show, he's given directing jobs to Jensen and Richard.
And then I gave a job to Brianna Buckmaster, you know, Bob Behrens and I did.
Right, right. And then Steve Yockey has a new show on HBO Max, which is going to have Ruth Connell in it.
Starring in that.
My phone is not rung. Once nobody wants to hire me, none of them. I've auditioned for Kung Fu and did not get the part. I cannot buy a role.
Come on,
I'm unhireable. Nobody is calling me. The one person named there not working is me.
Well, we're about to change all that, Rob.
Hey, my phone's ringing.
I'm calling you.
Hey, Rich.
Hello?
Hey, Rob.
Do you have a part for me?
Well, don't just jump to that conversation.
Oh, sorry.
How are you doing?
Good. What are you up to?
Oh, not much. Just working on a podcast, having an apple.
Cool. This podcast sounds fun.
Oh, yeah, it's great. We're just talking about how successful all the Supernatural writers are and how they're just handing out roles to Supernatural actors like they're candy.
Well, not just the writers, but a lot of the actors have got on to much success.
You know, there's a kind of a thought process or rumor going around that you honestly, if you're a Supernatural actor, you have to be careful leaving your house because if they know you're out and about, they'll just give you a role. Like you get roles willy nilly, and then you have to pick and choose, and then you have to hurt somebody's feelings. Because, like, look at Mark Shepard. He's juggling Jeremy Carver and Jared Padalecki. Who's he taking to prom? You know what I mean?
That's amazing. That's I need to leave the house more.
Anyway, I was calling with some news.
Okay.
Big news.
Yeah.
News I think you're going to be glad to hear.
Okay.
Might change your mood a little bit today, buddy.
Oh.
That your phone never rings. Well, it just rang.
Okay.
And here comes opportunity in form of your buddy, Rich.
Okay.
This is happening live in real time.
Wow.
This is news to Rob. This is big news. We're breaking news right now. This is a big deal. You ready, Robbie?
Okay.
Kim Rhodes texted us back.
Hey. Great.
You just put the phone down. They can't see that, but you just wilted.
No, I'm looking at the...
Oh, read it out loud to us.
Kim says, I love all of this. I just got off a tram looking at lions. I see no problem with people knowing about Kung Fu. Not that the two are related, but I wanted to share. CW is putting out a thing, so I think it's okay. Tabby says hi. That is all for now. That's lovely.
There we go. Hey, well, it's good talking to you, buddy. I'm going to scoot because I got to wrap up this podcast.
Was there anything else, or...?
No, there were a couple of sort of Rob Benedict types we're looking for Kung Fu.
Okay.
Process right now. And I think the general consensus is we're going to go with the Rob Benedict type to go with actual Rob Benedict. Seems a bit on the nose.
Okay.
And I know you agree.
Yeah. Okay, great. I'm going to go back to being sick.
I'll call you if that changes.
Okay.
Tell your sack I said hi.
Will do.
Bye.
Oh, well, that's nice that Kim wrote back.
Yeah, you were on the phone for a long time, Robbie. Who was that?
I was a director I know that I used to work with. he's doing real well.
Hey, by the way, you ever hear those? There's relaxing podcasts or apps out there where it's just sounds and people listen to the sounds. I'm gonna give our listeners a treat right now. This is a relaxing sound to help you go to sleep. It's Richard eating an apple.
God. I mean, that's got to be somebody's thing. Oh, gross. That's called something like EMNDR.
Yeah, it's like three letters.
Yeah. Okay.
And to me, it's five letters. GROSS.
Yeah. All right. Here's Rob drinking water.
Okay. Everybody relax.
It worked.
Put me right to sleep.
I do that. I listen to, when I'm away from home, I listen to the sound of a box fan.
Oh, yeah. I listen to white noise.
Yeah. Mine specifically a box fan.
What's a box fan? A box fan that goes in your window?
Yeah, like the kind of fans we had growing up. It's the white noise app, but I'm showing you now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just a fan. Why is it called a box fan? Does it have to be box shaped? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the fans that are in a box that you plug in the wall. Oh, I'm sorry, not all of us had central air growing up.
First of all,
Richie Rich.
You're just a liar. And secondly, I know what a fan is. And thirdly, you did have air conditioning growing up.
No, we had a unit.
Yeah, you've got a unit.
We had a unit in the window.
You are a unit.
That my dad would never let us turn on.
But I dare you to put your unit in the window.
Sir, And then we had a ceiling fan that my dad put in at one point. It was supposed to suck all the hot air out. But we actually did not have air, central air until my mom moved into a condo when I was in high school. That was the first time I had central air.
Ooh, condo, la-di-da.
Well, we weren't like you on the rich plantation.
I'm not sure plantation is, well, unfortunately, Rod's been canceled, everybody.
You can't say plantation?
No, you can't say plantation.
That's what they were.
Plantations were plantations. Normal homes in the suburbs weren't plantations. And plantations have, I don't know if you know this, negative connotations.
Right. That's what I meant. I meant it as a negative connotation.
No, because then you're basically, then you're sparking a whole.
Right.
The racist debate.
Right. But it was the old South, and that's why.
It wasn't the old South. It was the 80s. It wasn't 1864.
Oh, well, what? When were you born?
1867.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. You didn't live in a plantation. Just a very large house with central air.
That central air, we did have air conditioning. My mother wouldn't live in a place without air conditioning. Are you out of your mind?
Well,
the South gets hot. Which, I live literally kind of the South.
I live one state over from you. Yeah,
I know. Like, I was giving you credit for that.
Yeah.
And dude, every year our air conditioning would break. Every year. And we'd all end up sleeping on the porch.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. It's amazing, you know, what we could put up with when we were kids that we won't now.
Well, I mean,
I'm a baby now.
I'm a baby. I mean, Oregon is great because it gets cool at night. Well, California gets cool at night, but nonetheless.
I've gotten to this bad habit where, like, it helps me sleep if I have the air conditioning on.
Mm-hmm.
I could just open the windows and it'll be just the same temperature, but I like having the air conditioning on.
Years ago, when I was shadowing Supernatural, shadowing Bob Singer, on my own nickel, you know, I didn't have a hotel or anything. It wasn't a job, you know, I was just doing it for my own education. Jensen Ackles was kind enough to let me stay in his apartment that he rented to shoot the show. And he had a guest room and the whole nine. And I stayed there and he warned me. He's like, hey, just so you know, 68 degrees in this place at night. I'm like, okay. And 68 degrees kind of sounds room temperature. It's not. When you're perfectly still at night, it's flipping freezing. Subarctic. It's cold.
Yeah.
Jensen Ackles sleeps in an icebox. I'm just letting people know.
Oh, so he, by choice, he always had it.
He puts it at 68 degrees. He sets the thermostat at 68.
Wow.
Probably why he doesn't age.
That's cold. Yeah, maybe that's part of the secret.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, but I underpacked. I didn't have any, you know, fuzzy thermal onesie to put on.
Thermal underwear.
Yeah.
I always feel like when we go to these conventions, staying in hotels all the time, like this is not good for us, not good for our skin, not good for our lungs.
No. I always feel like hotels are tough, man, because
they are.
If you really think about it, they're real gross. Like you got to be real careful. You don't want to think about it too much.
No. No.
And I try not to, but like, second, like if I bring the kids to a convention or whatever or anywhere, and we walk in a hotel and they immediately hop on the bedspread, I'm like, get up though. Not the bedspread.
Yeah.
They didn't watch the bedspread.
Yeah. Yeah. Ruth just went to Comic-Con, which there was a part of me, dude, I was like, Comic-Con. Like it was like the first year, you know, because it was down for a couple of years. So this is like the first year it's really been up and running that you and I haven't been in the last 10 years.
I miss those days.
Yeah, but I just, you know, I wasn't feeling the best, so I was going to go.
Dude, you can't go with the virus. I mean, it's wall-to-wall people.
I know. I didn't. But she went, and because she had to do stuff for her movie, and she stayed at this hotel, and she said, my hotel smelled really moldy. And when she got back, she was like, smell this shirt. So I smelled her shirt, because, you know, it smells like the hotel room. And I was like, oh my God, like it was toxic level mold, like for sure there was mold in there. Yeah, I mean, traveled back with her. I was like, I'm Wow, a lot of people call me.
Who's calling you now?
No, that's from Blue Hill, Maine.
It's probably gonna better be take it. Better take it.
Yeah. They're probably gonna say.
Dude, that's gross. Yeah. I just can't help but think about, I mean, I don't know, what is it you think about at hotels that gross you out? I'll tell you what I think about.
Well, I
not,
know.
Not like about. The obvious, like people okay. pooping in there and stuff. Like, okay. What I think about is?
Sex?
No. I mean, because that's also kind of an, I think of the untold thousands of gross bare feet that have walked all over that carpet and propped up on that sofa and propped up on that ottoman, because they're not washing the carpet or washing the sofa. So when you sit on the hotel sofa and curl your feet under you to watch the TV, you're curling your, you are rubbing your toes and feet against the untold thousands of gross ass bare feet that have done the same thing.
Oh, that's disgusting.
I wear socks a lot in a hotel.
Okay,
I wear
good socks to know. Yeah, I'm probably too familiar. I don't.
What do you mean?
I don't walk barefoot very much. No, no. In fact, no, I don't. I work
it's
with
gross.
My socks on. Yeah.
It's like a public shower.
The bedspread. I just think of the random, you know, because there are things you do and it's like a rental, you know, things you do that you just don't clean off or something. Just the smudges.
Do you ever sit pantless in the desk chair?
No.
Good. Because I bet somebody did. And when you sit there, you're sitting in the sweaty butt crease.
And same with the bedspread. I mean, who does, you know, some gross dude sat there to, you know, whatever, put his clothes on or something.
So he sat down out of the shower, buck ass naked, to put talc on his feet and loins.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Well, that really makes me want to travel this weekend.
By the way, we'll be on the road. See you in Toronto, Canada, everybody. Robin and I will be the two guys wearing hazmat suits.
So this was good news. I thought for sure we weren't going to see you in Toronto, but sure enough, you're going to be there.
Yeah. In fact,
you're coming in a day early to do the pajama party with Brianna, I saw.
I am. This podcast probably will come out after that, but yeah, I will have done the pajama party with Brianna Buckmaster because Kim Rhodes is making a TV show. And
that's right. Right. And we can actually talk about that.
I'm stepping in to fill Kim Rhodes' dainty shoes.
Well, I wonder what else will be in store for us this weekend. There's always surprises.
No, it'll be fun. It'll be great. It's Canada after all.
Yeah. It's
we'll see Phil Segrisha probably. You know?
So yeah.
But let's go back to the gross things at hotels. You didn't tell me what grosses you out. Because I just told you good? Like to me.
Like a naked butt on the bed spread.
Yeah.
That grosses.
Because I feel like the bathroom gets cleaned up pretty good. Like that's the obvious area.
Yes.
We know here's another one I think about all the time. Sweating through a pillow. You know when you sweat sometimes when you sleep?
Yeah.
Like they're not, that all they did was take the pillowcase off.
Right.
All that sweat that went in the pillow that just sort of air dried and now all those molecules and DNA are all over the inside of that pillow.
Oh.
It just comes right out onto you.
So we'll be in DC second week of August. Oh man.
I mean, it's awful if you think about it.
Yeah, it's awful. It really is awful. Makes you want to stay at a, you know, Airbnb or something like that.
Same problem there. Forget it. What about you work out in hotels? I know you're a fit fella.
Mm-hmm.
When you do push-ups in a hotel,
I lay a towel
down. Your nose right down there next to the feet are.
I put a towel down.
Okay, now we're having a conversation. Now you're acting like a sophomore, not a freshman.
Yeah, well, it's not my first barbecue.
Speaking of barbecues.
Uh-huh.
You know, the tongs are shared in those, like, spaces that have public barbecues. Greasy, I'm making that up. I was looking for a weird segue into barbecue.
Like the ancient Greeks with the public barbecues.
Oh my god!
The ancient Greeks had the public baths. Lord knows what happened in those things.
Unsavory things.
But they only lived to be 25.
Yeah, I tell you, man. You just got to be. Like, you just don't want to think about hotels. And I watch my sons gleefully run through hotels, and they don't think about it. Mm-mm. And I didn't think about it until I started traveling a lot. And then it just became something that I thought about. and you just don't want to think about it. So my pitch to all you people, all of our loyal listeners, don't think about it. Everything that I said and Rob said, don't think about that. Don't, when you go to a hotel and grabbing the doorknob to your room or whatever, assume they wiped it down. They probably didn't, but assume they did. Cause that way, otherwise you'll be weirded out by grabbing that. Cause you're starting out immediately. You're going into a space with germs from somebody else, from a bevy of people.
Okay.
Don't think that.
Or you could just travel with a little packet of wet wipes and wet wipe the doorknob.
Absolutely. You should absolutely do that. But that's tantamount to taking a knife to a gunfight. There's so many bacterial deposits and germs all over your hotel room. You walk across that, like the second you step in the room, they're crawling up your leg.
Right.
Like you might as well just like strip nude and lick the carpet. Like it's just, there's no reason not to.
So visit California.com.
Just by the way, our podcast brought to you by Hilton Hotels. Comfort Inn and Suites. You know, especially just gross bare feet. I mean, you know, it's one of the things I hate about flying these days is that people, not these days, in the last decade, people are so comfortable on a plane. To all you men who wear flip-flops on airplanes, screw you.
Dude, you know? There's this guy, when we travel back from Maine, this guy sitting like kind of catty corner behind me, so like back into diagonal, had his bare feet up on the chair in front of him like that.
No.
Yes. And he was coughing. Ruth and I were so disgusted. I was like, oh my God.
Do you remember when that guy, I was with you and Ruth and my children, and a guy walked by me and sneezed in my face during COVID?
Yes.
Like liquid hit me. And I'm drunk. I was so grossed out. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
But back to that, was anybody sitting in the seat in front of him?
Yeah. It was like.
And they didn't ask him to move?
No, I don't think they knew. I don't think they knew. His bare feet. Like, are you kidding me? It was awful. People on planes, are you really get?
They're just people on planes are awful, and they're so gross. People get on an airplane. I get it's going to be a long flight. You want to wear comfortable clothes. I totally understand that. And I even understand, hey, you might take off your shoes if it's a long flight and you got your socks on, you got clean socks or whatever. Mm-hmm. But even that's a bit of a push. But holy smokes, the flip-flops and the gross people get.
I like it when we travel overseas and they give you those little packets with little socks in them. I like that. It's like giving you a little booty.
I nerdily bring a spare pair of socks with me just because of like, if for some reason I had to change shoes. I don't know, man. I'm self-aware of that in that regard of like not being a gross dude.
You know, what's super gross is airplane bathrooms because I went in and I was in my socks for a long time. They didn't give you new socks. And I went in and I was like, oh God.
No, you never do that, Robbie. You're standing in urine.
Yeah.
You're standing in urine.
Because men don't know how to use public bathrooms.
They don't know how to use a private bathroom. The men don't raise the toilet. Men spit, and it sprays all over everything. And you know, the little bump and the turbulence, and then the urine is just on a figure eight all over the wall. Mm-hmm. Like it is. You never go into an airplane bathroom in sock feet unless you're trying to collect a random sampling of about 100 different people's urine.
Yeah, DNA.
So, Rob, you were literally sitting and standing in somebody's urine for the rest of that day until you showered, just so you know.
And that was that night I think that was the day that I got my sickness.
Dude, and what if you pulled your socks off and kind of smelled them? That means you just shoved a bunch of people's urine up your nose.
Maybe that's how I got pericarditis.
It's a miracle you don't have, I don't know what. Urinitis of the nose.
Urinitis of the nose.
So yeah, I just don't be. Listen, people listening to this, just cover your toes. Nobody needs to see that. We know you're on vacation. You're not at the beach yet. You know what I mean? Yeah. Wrap those bad boys up. You have hideous feet. I don't care who you are. You have gross feet. Cover them up. Nobody should be forced to see that. Nobody.
You know, Norton likes to take his shoes off in the green room and just be in his socks. And for some reason, that grosses me out.
That's different, though. Norton's work. I mean, look, I don't love it, but Norton's working and he's in a, semi-private space.
Sure.
No, so, it's like
that's more like band infighting.
I've never heard you guys fight about Norton's shoes.
You haven't heard our songs, Norton's Shoes?
No, but I'm going to hear it now. Ah, that's okay. There's a lot of anger in that song. Clearly, that song was not written by Norton. It's more written at Norton.
It's written at him, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I feel like it's catchy, though. I feel like it's going to catch on.
That's, I mean, what about when you lower that airplane tray and it's just got sticky crap all over it?
See, again, it would just use that wipe. That, I like now they're handing you a wipe. And the first thing I do is wipe down that tray.
Oh, yeah. But again, good luck.
Yeah.
You know, the kid who was there before you just put a like a good solid coating of snot across corner to corner on that thing. You're not going to get all that off of that, flimsy little wipe.
Wow. This is
you might as well take those urine socks and try to rub it down. When we release merch for this podcast, which we really need to do because people, they want hats, they want shirts. Can we release a pair of Rob's flying socks and they'll be kind of, they'll be brown, but with like a yellow bottoms to represent all the urine you step in.
I think we should.
Yeah.
Urine socks. Or just a t-shirt that says urine socks. I was thinking about this yesterday. I still have the jerseys that we ran Tough Mudder. I have them unwashed in my garage. When are we going to do something with those?
We're going to do something with those. I'm telling you right now, I'm making an official announcement right now to our listeners. We're going to do something with those. You heard it here first. How long ago was that?
2015, maybe? 2015, I think.
Let's talk responsible knife ownership. You never put your blade away without cleaning it.
Okay.
I've been cutting an apple. I don't want that fruit sugar to stay on my blade and get my knife all sticky. Now I wiped it off, rinsed in a little water, just lake water, whatever you have around. Put the blade away. It's ready for your next use.
And where does that go? In your pocket?
Yep. It's got a little clip.
Wow.
Right here. Yeah, clip.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow. And that's just always on your person when you're in Oregon.
It's not a weapon, Rob. It's a tool. Don't act so weirded out about it.
It feels like a weapon.
The way you look at it, it makes me want to stab you with it. I guess you're right.
But if you're taking a nature walk and a bear crosses your path, you're going to use that knife.
If a bear crosses my path, this knife's not going to help you.
Really?
With a bear?
Yeah.
No, it's not going to help you, the bear.
Slash.
Please, yeah, Slash. Guitar player Slash would help you more than the knife.
Slash, the bear appears, and then you like whip pan to Slash playing a guitar solo.
You play a blazing solo, and the bear's so mesmerized, he leaves you alone. I'm having a lot of problems with my shoulder and my elbow, Rob. I woke up about 2-3 weeks ago. This elbow, I could barely unbend it. No idea why. No injury to speak of. It hurt so bad, it would keep me up at night. Just laying perfectly still, just killed me. So now I'm going to see this specialist up here, like a physical therapy type guy, Jerry Ivey. And Jerry Ivey, he's this miracle worker, man. He's just like a healer. He just uses his hands and does all this
great
unique cranial sacral nerve stuff. It's amazing. And he's feeling my neck, and he's like, "You have an old injury in here. What happened to your neck?" And I was like, He's like, "No, like a 30-year-old, you got something really, like, this is not a recent thing." And he thinks it's all stemming from
when you fell off the bleachers
when I was 11 years old and crushed my spine. And so I compacted my spine. For people who are listening, I broke both my arms and got a little bunch of scarring on my head, but it didn't quote unquote hurt my spine. I didn't have any traditional spinal cord injuries, but he feels like it caused, the impact damage. I fell 25 feet and landed on my arms and head on gravel. So obviously there's going to be some damage, and he thinks it's met. And he pushes on things. It's the most painful thing I've ever felt.
Oh, God.
And I feel blood flow going back into my arm. It's the weirdest thing because he's loosening old bunged up cartilage and sinewy tissue and muscle, and he's breaking it apart. And as he does, those capillaries open up, and it's like,
whoa,
slowly but surely. Like, it hurts again today because I have a habit of sleeping on it, like tucking a pillow.
Yeah.
And that's causing problems. I'm literally thinking I'm going to have to strap it to my side or something. So I don't get my sleep.
Yeah. Wait, is that your right arm?
Yeah.
Oh, bummer.
I haven't quite figured out the trick to not folding up my arm in my sleep, because I do it in my sleep.
Yeah.
But all that to say, the whole process of figuring out what's tied to what in the body is fascinating to me. Like,
yeah. And
to watch him do these things and to feel it, you know, it's real time. It's not like he gives me a pill and 2 days later I feel something. He's hitting something up here to release something down here. You know, it's crazy.
Oh, crazy, man. That's crazy. It really
is. But like, it hurts right now. It hurts to take up water.
Oh, man. That sucks.
I know, my badminton game has gone to hell.
Yeah, I bet. That's my first thing I thought. I was like, what about your badminton game?
No, your first thought was shuttlecock. And then you thought, what about Rich?
What house are you in right now?
I'm in one of Tyler Hayes's cabins.
Yeah, that's
Tyler
a real...
Tyler built some cabins. Yeah, I'm actually outside right now.
That's amazing.
He built a couple of cabins behind his cabin.
Okay.
Wow. I'm staying up here at the Tyler Hayes compound.
And where are the children?
Steve is in Los Angeles, California with the machete.
Mm-hmm.
Fletcher is a dishwasher at the local restaurant Embers, and he's at work. And Frank has been riding a motor scooter past us for the majority of time. And
how fun. Like a little motorcycle?
Driveway and a little motor scooter.
That's fun. I used to do that.
I'm going to take him into town when you and I are done. You and I are headed to town.
Cool. Yeah, I used to do that when I was around his age. That's so much fun. One of those little motorcycles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just goes up and down the driveway because he's not allowed to leave the driveway on it, obviously.
Right.
But he goes up and down with his helmet.
Ah, such a rush.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And then, it was fun. I don't know if you know this, but I played a show with Matt and the Harsh Men the other day.
Yeah, how'd that go?
The Rusty Spur. It was great, man. It was great. We played, it was a 3-hour set.
Wow.
Three 1-hour sets.
And you played the whole time?
Yeah.
What do you play? Just bass?
Bass, yeah. We've got about a 30-song list going.
And you have the chords and the notes in front of you?
No, these are cover songs. You know, these are not originals.
Covers that you know.
Covers I know or I learn. Like, I get Matt and I are like, we really should practice more than once a year. But, you know, I come to town, we get a practice in, we go play a bar. And it's super fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Matt knows all. He's a library. Matt Harshman is a library of music, man. And he's also a beer master. He's a brewer at the local unbelievable brewery, Terminal Gravity. Terminal Gravity should sponsor us because I love them. They're like our Silver Lake Wine
of Oregon, of
the Pacific Northwest, of Olawa County. Terminal Gravity Brewery in Enterprise, Oregon. Unbelievable beer. And what I love about Terminal Gravity is if you're a regular, when there's a lot of people here who are, because it's like, it's the local place, they keep your glass in the cabinet.
And
everybody's glass is made separately. It's made by a glass blower.
Wow.
So it's all unique. Nobody's glass looks the same. And they have a book that shows whose glass is where. I see you walking in before your butt hits the chair. They've poured the beer you like into your glass and sat it down. Now, I'm not there yet. I have not earned that spot.
Do you have a glass?
I have a glass. My glass sits in Brian's glass. So Brian let my glass piggyback his glass.
Wow.
But I got a glass.
Wow. That's amazing.
Isn't it amazing? So you order, they'll just bring it to you in your glass.
Wow. That's way cool. Yeah, it makes me really want a glass. To say that's the sort of thing where I get FOMO already. I don't know the guy or the place and I want a glass.
Well,
I don't want a beer.
You got to come up here. I mean, like, without question, once now that COVID's over and we're finishing up some construction, you got to flip. You're going to come up here and go, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Because it's so great.
Yeah. Although COVID's not over. Just don't want to burst.
Well, I guess I mean things are opening. Things are opening up or have opened up.
Here in LA, they're shutting back down.
What do you mean?
Yeah, there's a mask ordinance that's going back in place next week.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure people will obey that.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, people are down with it. They're over.
It's because the numbers are going up again.
But I had that COVID, and it was no joke. I felt like hell.
Yeah. Yeah, who was it? My therapist actually had it, and he said, yeah, you don't want it. You don't want it. It's not fun.
No, you don't want it. Hey, why were we talking about Terminal Gravity?
Because you're talking about your show.
Right. And so Matt Harshman
is a brewer. Beer. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? Like, what a good gig. Cool.
So that's what he does for a living?
Yeah.
Wow. And so they play covers. And what kind of covers do you play?
Oh, just all like classic rock stuff. It's all Stones, Beatles, Doobie Brothers.
But some of those are tricky bass parts. You just know these?
I've learned them. I've learned them from, you know, why you find them on YouTube and watch somebody show you how to play them. And
great. So we're going to plug you in this weekend at the Saturday Night Special. You'll be ready to go.
I don't, unless you play the hits of the 70s, I might be a little rusty. But remember, case in point, remember years ago, you're like, we're going to try to play Whipping Post, but it's kind of a tough bass line. And I knew it because I've played in so many cover bands.
Right. And you don't,
where that's what we did.
You don't have my memory. You remember everything. I forget everything.
Well, it's not totally true. I will forget. Like, I have to remind myself. And like the day of the show, I'll sit there and kind of look at the song list and try to half play the line to remember it, you know, just remember the key or whatever. Mm-hmm. But these are also songs I know on the radio. I think it's more challenging when it's an original, or maybe it's less challenging as you wrote it, but I don't know. These are songs I've heard my whole life. So it's almost like I can boom, 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 boom. Know it in your head.
Right. Yeah.
So even if I don't get, like, some of them are obviously going to be way complex, and I'm going to skip that complex part and just stay on the root note.
Sure. Yeah.
You know,
You're not going to go full McCartney with it.
No. It's fun when I know those. Like, when I know those lines, and it's really cool to do those, like, you know, Drift Away or one of the songs I've been playing that bass line a while, so I kind of know it, and it's cool. But I don't try to get out of my skis. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I played bass in the jazz band in high school, and that was my MO was just stick to those root notes. So I would get lost and just like stick, dum, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum.
Especially a jazz band.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not great at reading music, and it was all just reading the music. And so I'd get lost easily and just went back to my ear, playing by ear. Well, listen, this has been a great marathon session. I hope you've enjoyed part two of our two-part podcast.
And I'm glad we were able to include all of part one, because had Kim shot down our quest to talk positively about her new role in the TV show Kung Fu, had she said no, don't talk about the fact that I'm on the TV show Kung Fu yet, part one would have been real short, and part two would have had an awkward opening.
Yeah, although maybe they would have fired her, and then there would have been an opening, and then I would have played Kim and finally gotten that job I've been searching for.
That would be just really rock star casting for you to play.
Right? It's like, it's either me or Kim up for a role.
It's nonstop, right? Like for this pajama party. It was is it Rob and Brianna or Kim and Brianna? Oh, they went with Kim and Brianna.
Yeah, except now it's actually Rich and Brianna.
Well, they wanted to get you a Robin and a type, but they felt like bringing Rob in to replace Kim was too on the nose.
Yeah. And hey, hats off to the loyal Patreon listener who sent the nice message last week saying, feel better, Rich.
But wait a minute. She probably knew about your engorged sack.
I know. But she thought it was you.
Oh. That's true.
I sent that.
Maybe
to
she
you.
Knew I had COVID, Rob. You never know.
Oh, that's true. That's true. You were sick as well.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, this is great. Patreon people, you got a lot of more content coming your way. And
Because we're healthy folks, again. We're healthy again.
We're healthy. And we're back. Regular folks who listen to our podcast, we appreciate you. We're sorry we were gone for so long, but we're back and we're proud, and we're going to keep doing these things.
Back and we're proud. Well, good luck with your arm. I hope you can move it this weekend.
Yeah, so do I. And good luck with your inflated sack.
Thank you.
Engorged, what is it?
Both.
Your infuriated sack.
Infuriated sack, yep.
And sleeping in a chair, which just sounds like a nightmare. Anyway, hang in there. Everybody, be good. Take care of yourself. Don't lick the floor of your hotel room. Don't go into the airport or airplane bathroom in your sock feet.
Yep.
And by God, please get off that that comforter at the hotel. Just don't even mess with that.
Yeah, don't even sit there at all.
No.
No, no.
All right, friends.
All right, friends.
Countrymen.
Countrymen.
We bid adios.
You adieu.
Adieu. It's a king's car.